Today's scripture reading is from Colossians 1, 15 to 23. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that have been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of I, Paul, have become a servant. This is the word of the Lord.
We are about a lighthouse keeper who worked on the rocky stretch of the coastline. So once a month, the lighthouse will receive some oil, supply of oil to keep the light burning. And this lighthouse keeper is a really nice guy, like people in our church. So one night, a woman from a nearby village came and begged for some oil because it's getting cold, like today, like Vancouver, it's getting really cold. So we asked the housekeeper, "No, can we have a little bit of oil?" She said, "Sure, we've got lots of oil here." So the lighthouse keeper gave the woman some oil. She walked away very happy. And then another night, another gentleman came by and said, "Oh, we need some oil to lubricate our wheels." So sure, we got lots of oil here. I'll give you a little bit of oil. So the guy was very happy, walked away. And then another person came and, I need some light tonight, getting very dark here and I run off oil. Can I have some oil to light my lamp? I said, sure, I got lots of oil here, take some. So slowly he's giving away a lot of his oil. And then one night, and it was very dark, it's rainy and cold, and then he received instruction from the authority that there will be lots of ships passing by his lighthouse tonight. So you got to keep the light burning, keep it light up for a longer time. So he keep the light on, but then eventually find that that's not enough oil to keep the light burning. And then the light went out. And then ships cannot see the lighthouse. And then the shipwreck and people's lives were lost. So the authority came and investigated and asked, "What happened? No, we gave you enough oil for the month." And the lighthouse keeper was apologetic. They said, "Well, there are a lot of people in need. I'm just trying to help. I'm trying to be helpful." And then the authority said, "You're given the oil for only one purpose, is to keep the light burning." There are a lot of programs, activities in our church. We are a medium-sized church. There's program at church almost every day. You may not notice. You may think that's only Sunday morning we meet here. Monday, we have a restaurant fellowship. Tuesday, we have the seniors gathering in the morning. Wednesday, there's a ladies group, Cantonese Bible study. And Thursday, there's a praise and dance. Tuesday, there's also a Mandarin praise and dance. And Friday afternoon, there's a gospel song karaoke. You didn't know that. You can come on Friday afternoon and bring some Cantonese speaking friends, and they'll be singing like crazy and for 3 or 4 hours non-stop. And Friday, of course, Friday evening, we're very busy. So you're going to go home this afternoon and thinking that there'll be nothing happening in the church because this is only Sunday morning. Afternoon, there were people coming, playing ping pong until they're all tired. So there are all kinds of programs in the church. But we have to be careful. All these programs are good. They're good programs. But let's not lose sight of what the purpose of a church, what's the purpose of Nice Street Church. Everything that we do here has to bring us back to the main purpose of our church, the Nice Street Church. And God put us here for purpose, not just us. I would believe this for all churches. And in the history of the churches and some denominations, some churches, they lost sight of what the purpose of a church is. They do a lot of good works, and these are all good. But slowly, they lost the main purpose and focus of a church. And that's the topic of my sermon this morning. The four E's, we all talk about the 5 G's. Recently, I'm studying up the 5 G's. It's on the news almost every day, the 5 G's. And what's the church's 4 G's? And the first E, to exalt Jesus. That is the main sole purpose of our church, is to exalt Jesus, to worship God. So worship is the focus, is the foundation of all our ministry there. It should be the focus of our life of Christians. And our worship centers around God. So we put a lot of the effort in preparation. The best place in this church, the sanctuary, is dedicated for worship. During the week, actually, this place is empty. So this is how dedicated we are. We dedicate most of our resource to worship. But worship is more than just getting together, and it is. The singing is very important. Sermons are very important. But the main purpose of our worship is to exalt Jesus, to glorify God. There's been debate, arguments, to what kind of music, worship style we should, you know, traditional, contemporary, hybrid, blended praise and worship. We focus our worship on speaker. When the worship is finished, we ask, is this the good worship? Yes, today we've got a good speaker from outside, obviously, not from here. Today we got a really good worship. The worship team was fantastic, like this morning's worship team. But worship is more than just the songs, the worship team, or even the preaching. The worship is for God. When we walk out of this sanctuary this morning, ask yourself, have you worshiped Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, this morning? Have you elevated, exalted Jesus this morning? The primary purpose of a church, and definitely for us, a Nice Street Church, the first E is to exalt Jesus. The scripture that we read this morning is quite extensive. Talk about Jesus. Sometimes when you receive people's business card, you look at all the titles behind the name, right? BA, BSc, BASC, PhD, wow, PhD, right? So you probably listen. But if you've got a business card, this is a red ruin, it's just another picture, right? But if somebody gives you a card and says PhD, then you listen more carefully, right? But here, Paul, the apostle, is like giving us the business card of Jesus with all these qualification attributes for Jesus. The reason for all this, and you better listen and watch, this Jesus is a big shot. That's what Paul is trying to say. The Son is the image of the invisible God. So Paul started off with the biggest title. Right? If somebody hands you a card, it's MD, I better talk to him. He's a doctor. I'm looking for a family doctor. Right? So this may be my family doctor. But someone hands you a business card, he's the Son, the image of the invisible God. He's God himself. That's the biggest title. So Paul did not waste time. So he started off the biggest title, the most important. Jesus is the exact likeness of God. Image, the Greek is icon, E-I-K-O-N, which means the likeness, representation, or manifestation. So Jesus is the manifestation of God. Wow. I mean, actually, you don't need any more titles. So that's enough. This morning, no, and enough for me. No, someone hand me a business card. No, I am God. I'm the image of God. So that alone is enough for us to exalt Jesus, worship him. He is the firstborn over all creation. But Paul did not stop there. He continues to throw us all these names, attributes of Jesus. He's the firstborn over all creations, not just some creations, but all creations. All things were created. And very often, sometimes when we sat together, our church has 50 years of history. So sometimes when I have a meal, a dinner, a lunch with the older sisters, when I join the sisters' fellowship Sunday morning, they have potluck or Christmas celebration. And no, with us, no, we don't want to people know that I'm in the church for too long, then people can guess our age. If you tell people that you've been in the church for 40 years, and then they look at you, you don't look like you are 10 years old, then they can almost guess how old you are. Right? But for the seniors, the ladies in the church, they're mostly from the Cantonese, one thing they like to brag about during the lunch, they say, oh, I've been in church for 40 years. Like, only 40 years, I've been here 42 years. Only 42 years, I've been here 45 years. And then the next thing they're going to brag about is how old they are. Right? We don't like to say that. When you ask me how old, I said that I'm not going to tell you. Right? They said, oh, I am 89 years old. Wow. I said, only 89? I am 91 this year. I am 93 now. So some of the sisters at the sister fellowship, they're actually 95. The oldest member in our church is actually over 100 years. You may not know, 100 years old. So we like to brag about, and then someone tell you that, no, I'm about 5,000 years old. Wow, that's scary, isn't it? But Jesus is more than that. I'm the firstborn over all creations. At least 6,000 years old, at least. Wow, that is a really heavy business card. And not only that, he's above all creations. For in him, all things were created. I created everything, everybody. Things in heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible. Even the spirit angels in the spiritual world. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. If one day, you know, the Prime Minister of Canada invite you for lunch, wow. Well, I don't know if I want to go, but you feel honored, right? Or the president of U.S., you know, whoever win the Super Bowl this afternoon will be invited to White House and meet with Donald Trump. They're already talking about what kind of food they're going to have. But all the authorities on earth, whether it's our little Canada, which now being kicked around by other countries, or a superpower country. But all the authorities in the world, they're all allowed, they're all within the sovereignty of Jesus. All things have been created through him and for him. Wow. But Paul did not stop there. Right? I mean, that alone, no, these titles, attributes alone is enough for us to worship him, to exalt Jesus. But Paul continues, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together. God created the universe. He created time, I believe. This is another subject on physics. But he holds everything together. You look at the stars, the 100 billion galaxies, endless countless stars in the sky. Not only that, God created all this. He's holding them up. He created the earth, the sun. The earth revolves around a sun at a speed of 30 kilometers per second. I checked this out again last night. How fast is 30 kilometers per second? So by the time I said that, in 7 seconds, that we could have gone from here to Seattle in 7 seconds. That's fast. That's really fast. From here to Seattle in 7 seconds. That's how fast the earth is revolving. I was just wondering, how come we don't get flown off the earth? Right? Everybody will be flying around. It's going so fast. If I drive so fast, I'll be going out through the window. Because Jesus, God, created the universe, and he's holding everything together. The universe, the stars, the earth, our lives. Our life is in the hands of our Lord Jesus. Our life is in the hands of God. Paul did not stop there neither. I thought that's enough for us this morning, at least for myself, to exalt Jesus, to think of his glory. And Paul continued. He's also the head of the body of Christ, the church. Now, it's getting closer to us personally. He's the head of our church. Now, you think that the pastors, elders, the leader of the church, but Jesus is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he may have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. He's the head of the church, and also in him we can find abundance, fullness. We do not need to seek fullness, abundance from any other God, any other thing on earth. He's complete. He's full just in him. Christ alone is enough. Christ alone is a song. For him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And Paul continued. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. From being the God, creator of the universe, the holder of the universe, the control of all of our governments, the controller of our governments, to being our personal savior. It's more than just a God of the universe. That seems to be so remote from us, isn't it? But this alone is enough for us to exhort him this morning, that he dies on the cross for you, not just the creator of the universe. He is your personal savior. He died on the cross for you. He reconciled all things, all people, through his blood shed on the cross. And this alone. So on this big, huge business card of Jesus, Paul is trying to portray it. From being the creator to even the last title, the attribute, that he died on the cross for you. And I think even just the last attribute, thing that he did, is enough for us to exalt him, isn't it? That he died, he suffered for your sins and died on the cross from you. Never mind the rest of the things that he has accomplished for us. C.S. Lewis said, there's no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. So because of that, what God has done for us, we have to give him his deserved glory. And we have to exalt him. And that is the purpose, the main purpose of our church. Every inch, every second, every bit of effort that our church exerted has to bring glory to Christ. And that is the purpose of our church. Not only that, within our four walls, we bring glory to Him. We have to let the whole world, everybody on earth who are willing to listen, we have to bring everybody to exalt Christ. If you watch a good movie, you read a good book, or you find a good sales, you will tell all your friends that it's Black Friday sale, you can buy this TV, you know, for this much, this cell phone is for sale. You will tell your good friends, what better way to exalt Jesus, to lift Him up, is to introduce the rest of the world to Him. We do evangelism not because, well, it is, we want to bring more people to our church, but not because of the statistic, not because we want to increase the numbers. Yes, that is important. But the reason we want to increase our number, we want more people to exalt Jesus. We want more people to worship Him. And the reason and the drive of our evangelism effort should be based on because we want more people to look up to Jesus. Exalt Jesus should be the driving force behind all our mission work, our evangelistic meetings, our alpha course. It's more than just to increase numbers. It is also is our responsibility to proclaim to every creature under the heaven, to bring everybody under the heaven to give thanks, to give His deserved glory. But very often, church, we spend a lot of time doing things in our church, many things. As I told you in the beginning, our church has many programs, but we dedicated very little of our time to bringing more people to exalt Him. The reason very often I heard given is that times have changed. People don't respond to the gospel anymore. Or is it? Or is it just that we have changed? Dr. Rainier, a very famous church growth expert in the U.S., and he did a survey, a study. He wrote many books on church growth. And I read some of his results of his survey. It's very interesting. His survey among the unchurched people is that 36% of the unchurched population are open or very open to the gospel. 36% of the people. This is in the U.S., you can claim, not in Canada. But even if you take a discount of 50%, still 18%. And this is even more interesting. 82% of the unchurched population would go to church if they were invited to church by 1. Someone they knew, and 2. They would walk into church with them. That means if you ask 8 people or 10 people that you know and you're willing to go to church with them, 8 out of 10 people will actually go to church with you. Wow. Would you believe that? We probably don't, because we never try. If we did, our church number would probably be double. If 10 people we invite, 8 of them will come to our next evangelist meeting, to our Alpha program. Can you imagine? Each one of us, 100 here, we could have invited 80 people. The next Alpha will have 180 people. That never happened once. This is really challenging, isn't it? The world needs to exalt Jesus, and not exalting Jesus within our four walls is not enough. If the gospel we preach does not exalt God, magnify Christ, and humble man, it is not the gospel. The gospel that we preach is to exalt Jesus, and we cannot limit our worshiping of God just to within our Christian community. We have to go out there and evangelize the world. And to evangelize the world, we need to edify the church. We got to equip the church. I thank God that our church, from day one, 50 years ago, our focus is always on outreach, on evangelism, spreading the gospel. To edify the church. To edify the church is not just for adding numbers, but so that we can evangelize the world. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. We have to edify one another in our church. Edify, the word edify in Greek is the same word as to build a house, to construct a house. But then later on it's being used as a metaphor to establish, to promote growth in Christian wisdom, affection, grace, holiness, unity, to grow in wisdom and piety. Our job is to edify other people, to help everyone in the church to grow. I thank God the men of us here are helping with the teens, children ministry, helping the young ones, young adult ministry, young adult group, being counselors, Sunday school teachers. We are helping other people, members of the church. And what is the main purpose of this edification? What is the goal of the edification? Is to build him up, to build up people. May the God of endurance, Romans chapter 15, verse 5, endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to edify each other, to edify the church, so that for two purposes, to have harmony within ourselves, to have harmony with one another, one voice. And the second goal of the edification is to glorify God. Only when we are in harmony can the church be a witness to the world. Only when the church is in harmony, then we can glorify him. When people outside the church, when they look at us, we're trying to evangelize the world. But when they look at the church, if we are keep always fighting, if I'm a non-Christian, a non-church goer, why would I want to join this group? There's enough challenge at work outside there already. So to edify the church, we are to develop, to help, to nurture a harmony with one another. We build each other up. And the purpose of building each other up, not just because we want to be stronger, no, we want to, so that by October, we can say what we want to say, we are stronger for us, no, so that we can glorify God with one voice. We can edify people, build up people by helping out in Sunday school, helping out with the teens ministry, but we can encourage, edify people by just saying things that encourage each other. Give thanks. I thank God for your presence, for coming. Thank the worship team. They spent a lot of time, at least one afternoon, Saturday afternoon, in preparation. Say thank you to them. So after the service, say thank you to the preacher, if he preached a good sermon. If not, thank him for trying very hard at least, but don't say that. Don't say thank you for trying hard. Don't say that. Thank you for serving, working hard, preaching God's word. As long as the preacher is preaching God's words, he's a faithful servant. The preacher is not here to entertain you. You can find that somewhere else. A preacher is here to preach God's word, not his own word. As long as he's preaching God's word, he's a faithful preacher. Say some nice thing to the people next to you. When there's a newcomer, sit next to him, to them. Introduce the church to them. Once in a while, bring some donuts to the church for the staff. We have that. May not be donuts. Bring something else. Wonton noodle. Be nice to the staff. On the Facebook, click some likes, Instagram, Grams, social media. Appreciate each other, encourage each other. Volunteer for something in the church. And the last one, to equip disciple. Equip yourself so that you can equip others and edify the church. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge. There's two areas we have to equip ourselves to serve, to build up others, to edify the church, to evangelize the world, to exalt Jesus. It started from us. Yes, you, not me only. Started with you to equip yourself in two areas. Knowledge, which we all know. Even when we are in Awana, we start to memorize the scripture. We study the Bible in Sunday school. Our church is doing a very good job in that. Small groups studying Bible, Sunday school, fellowships, always as a Bible study time. So we don't need to, you don't need me to tell you anymore about the knowledge, but we also need to grow, to equip ourselves on the faith side. I think for some of us, if not all, that we're quite equipped in the knowledge side. But we, on the other side, we have to equip ourselves in our faith. We need to have faith in him. We got to experience God's wonders in our life. The reason that very often we came to a worship, we're looking for an emotional experience. Very often we walk out here, our heart has not really exalted Jesus. We have a lot of knowledge, but we need to have a lot of faith to balance our knowledge as well. This is a gathering of the ducks. It's a duck church. So the ducks gather and have a worship. So the duck pastor is a very powerful preacher. No, they have lots of duck music, duck hymns, and then here's the duck pastor preacher, a very powerful preacher. So he pung on the pulpit for 35 minutes, and then he said, with these wings, we can all fly. We can fly like an eagle. God created us, or given us all these wings. We can soar high in the sky. And everybody down there said, amen. And then everybody is cracking and flow the congregation. Everybody said, amen, amen. And then with wings, we can fly for our whole life. We can fly as far as we want. And then everybody said, amen. And then, and we are ducks, we are powerful, we are strong. Yes, amen. So everybody's all excited. Everybody jump up and down, they all sing, and then they all say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then at the end, and everybody loves his sermon because they like to hear this. So at the end of the sermon, so everybody was convicted and convinced that they can fly home after the worship. So what happened when the service over? So they all just slowly, they all walk home and walk home very quietly. No one is flying. When we are sitting in here, the teachers, the preachers, the pastors tell us we need our faith. We need to trust God. Yes, we believe in that. We even teach that to the kids. Have faith in him. Our God is the creator. It's all these attributes, all these things that he's done. He's so powerful. He can do all things. His gospel is the power of God. Anybody who listens to this gospel will be convicted of how powerful he is. But yet when he leaves this building, we'll live a life as though God is alive. We have to equip ourselves in the faith. We all believe that God is the creator. He answers our prayers. But when people ask you how much time you spend in prayers, I don't know, not much. How often you come to our corporate church prayers? Some people probably have never been to once. We talk about God holds our life, everything together. But when we are sick, how often we really trust in God? 2 weeks ago, we have a prayer meeting here. One of our sisters, Scarbo, and as you know, she was under chemo for some time. She has cancer, so she was very weak. And then she has a virus. And in the hospital, she was unconscious for over 10 days. And the doctors basically said, nothing we can do. She had to fight it on her own. But she have to wake up, regain her conscious, otherwise it gets more dangerous today. So for 10 days, she was in unconscious. Our church has a prayer meeting 2 Sundays ago, a joint prayer meeting. The prayer meeting wasn't set up for Gabo, but we prayed. The whole church, close to 70 people came for that prayer meeting, a monthly joint prayer meeting. We prayed for her. And then in the afternoon, Cynthia and I went to visit James, Elder James, and you know, the afternoon, she actually opened her eyes for a few seconds. Wow, a few seconds. And her feet, actually, I saw wiggle like that. Wow, and that's enough to drive the family or say hallelujah. A few seconds, and the feet just wiggle. Same afternoon. When often we go to prayer meetings, we pray, and then next week we come and pray for other things, and then we come and pray for other things. We never go back and realize God's mighty work. And just an update, Gabo is sitting up now. She cannot speak, but she has response. So praise the Lord. So we need to have faith in what we believe in order for us to exalt Jesus. And we have to exalt him, give him the glory. And you know, what we learned about this morning is actually, in case you don't know, is our mission statement. I cut this from our church website. Our mission, Night Street Church, we say, see, our mission is to exalt Jesus, equip the disciples, edify the church, and proclaim the holistic gospel. That's our mission statement of our church. That's the purpose of our church. Anything less than that, we are not fulfilling God's purpose for us. But even though there are 4 things we have to do, 4 E's, but actually there's only 1 E, is to exhort him. Everything that we do to evangelism, our Alpha program, our mission is to exalt him. We edify the church so that we can glorify him, so that we can exalt him. So when people see us, they will say, wow, no, this is a Christian community. I want to know their Jesus. When people see us, they can see Jesus in us. So wow, no, I don't want to go to this church. No, look at this person here, Norman here. I don't want to be like him. I don't want to go to church. Or when people look at you, Celine, Tim, Anita, wow, I can see Christ's character in this Christian. I want to go to this church. I want to find out more about what they believe. And that is what exalting Jesus means. Great musician Bach said, all music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God and the soul's refreshment. Where this is not remembered, there's no real music, but only a devilish noise. That means just a noise. So there are musicians, every bit of the music that you roll is to glorify God. Wow. I wish we can say that. Everything that our church does here is to exalt Jesus, is to bring glory to God. Anything less than that, God will not be satisfied and happy. So let's exhort every believer, every church, every village, town, city, and every nation. And that start from you.